listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to October 27th edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am here with guest star Tony St. Tone. He's not actually a guest star. He's a co-host.
I'm a co-host and a guest star. I'm going to be both today.
You're a star, baby. You're a star.
Today I'm both.
So today we have a lot of cool things coming on. We have a young lady named Shania Fastia. And she is a 14-year-old rock star. And by rock star, I mean she has got so much going on at the age of 14. You guys won't believe what this girl's been up to. And we're also going to do a segment on red carpets and red carpet etiquette from our Hollywood segment today and talk about some of the things going on all around town, all around the country for a celebration known as Halloween this week.
Halloween. And what about your birthday yesterday?
I had a wonderful birthday yesterday. Thank you.
We can talk about that a little, can't we?
Yes, it was fabulous. And thanks for all the birthday wishes I got on Facebook and on our website on Humanitarian Radio. Thank you, everybody. Very nice. Made my day.
She was very excited about that. 1 year younger. Holding steady.
Yes, holding steady. Actually had someone come up to me when I was putting on my makeup to go out for dinner and said to me, "You don't look so scary." He thought I was going to have a costume on.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's make sure everyone knows what he was talking about. He thought she was getting ready for a Halloween costume party. So.
Psych. Yeah, it was too funny. So anyway, we look forward to having Shania on the show today. And it is the season for a lot of parties, a lot of Halloween parties, but a lot of fall festival parties, pumpkin parties and carvings and things like that. And it's a great time to be doing fundraisers. We've gone to quite a few fundraisers lately. And one thing that I've noticed is there is a certain etiquette that goes around doing a red carpet. Would you like to tell about your red carpet experience the first time?
I don't know if I want to talk about the very first time.
I think you should.
I was the deer in headlights.
You were.
I was at the Beverly Hills Film Festival, and a friend of ours took me under her wing. She goes, "Don't worry, I'm going to walk you out there, and I'm going to handle this for you."
She's a public relations girl.
She's a public relations girl. And basically, there's like 30 or 40 photographers, and she goes, "Samuel Jackson told me this." She goes, "Turn to the left, smile, and count down from four, three, two, one, and keep turning your head, and then move on." And I'm like, okay, because everyone's calling your name, and you're not sure where you're looking, because you're looking at 30 different people trying to take your picture, and everyone's saying, "Look here, look there." And it's a little surreal. It's bizarre the very first time, but once you get a hang of it, then you're
well,
like, okay.
And what I noticed about that event was probably the perfect example of a perfectly run red carpet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had everyone in the back.
How long did you stay on the red carpet before they'd move you? They'd move you down and move you down and move you down and move you down for photo ops at each spot they move you down.
Yeah, so it's like, 10, 15 seconds, roughly.
Tops, right?
Tops, yeah.
Yeah. So we went to a red carpet recently, and it was an event that was thrown for the first time by this particular company. And they, did what they thought a red carpet should be. But when you go to a variety of these, you see what is really the best way to do a red carpet for the most success. And when you're looking at doing a successful red carpet, you have to remember that the reasoning for your red carpet is you want to attract more people to your fundraiser. That's why you have a red carpet attached to it. You also want to attract more media, because if you attract more people, you have a better chance for more donations or for more receiving money at the door type thing. If you attract more media, obviously you're attracting more people. So what's the thing to do? You throw this great red carpet, but if you don't throw it properly, then you haven't done the best service for yourself. What I find is that people will stand in line for hours and hours and hours and get frustrated and just be out of there. And that is because a red carpet hasn't been organized and run properly. So what I want to do in this little segment here is talk about how to properly run a red carpet so that the flow is really great and smooth, and you get the best bang for your buck with both the media and the people who are on it.
So a red carpet checklist.
Yeah, red carpet etiquette, if you will.
So go, bang.
So bang.
Number 10.
First thing you need is a 4x8 red carpet. And you can get that at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Doesn't need to be red.
Anywhere. Yeah, it's usually, yeah, a better idea because we're talking a red carpet. You
so
can get a green one.
It can't be a pink
one.
Carpet. It needs to be a red carpet.
That's what I would say. Yeah, I would suggest. So
do you know the history of red carpets?
Pardon me?
Do you know the history of why it's a red carpet?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. A red carpet was created as to show special effort in the interest of hospitality, meaning if you show that we are being hospitable by honoring you to come through our front door on a fabulous red carpet, it's just to show that we honor and we respect that you are coming to our establishment.
Excellent. Very well done.
See. So, we were talking about what you need to start a red carpet, and what you need is a 4x8 red carpet, which you can get from Home Depot or Lowe's or any kind of store of that nature that sells any type of carpeting. You also need an 8x8 or an 8x10 backdrop, and the backdrop can be a variety of things. It can be a banner like you would buy at a regular banner sign shop. It can be made out of silk fabric that has logos put into it, and it can also be made out of burnout fabric, which is backlit. Lights behind it shine through and show a specific logo or picture or something along those lines.
Can we talk about the logos for a second?
Sure.
Being a graphic designer, the reason why they make the logos so small and they do what they call as a step and repeat is because before they used to have large logos, and when photos were taken on the red carpet and these were placed into magazines like People Magazine, et cetera, a lot of these logos were cut in half. So now they make them real small so they can get as much of the full logo.
Get the advertising
the
in there. Totally makes sense. And where can you get a backdrop? You can get it from any sign shop, anywhere that makes a banner. Artistic Journey, my company, we do all types of different backdrops all over the country. So if you are having a tough time finding something, feel free to go to artisticjourney.com. Or Janie@artisticjourney.com and email me, and I can send you to someone or arrange it for you, whatever you need. But the whole point is you sell advertising. You sell the rights to be on the backdrop. Those people get the photos taken a zillion times with a variety of stars, and so that is their benefit, while it raises money for you to not only create the backdrop for them but to throw into the fund for your fundraiser. The other thing is that the media, it gives them people and things to take photos of and change the photos. So what they do on the red carpet is they'll have you take a picture in front of this group and then move down a few inches, or a few feet rather, and have you take another set of photos in front of this other group of logos. And then they have you move down further so you get a right, a center, and a left angle if you're a photographer. And it gives you some options of photos to choose and photos to provide. Because the photographers are there for a few different reasons. They are there to, A, add to their portfolio, and, B, work with the stars and get pictures out to the stars directly. So red carpet attracts a lot of different people that you don't normally get from a fundraiser. It's relatively easy to do. You can rent the frame to put the banner on so that you don't have to invest in a lot of money. And if the people who advertise on the banner itself pay you to advertise or become partners in some other method. Maybe they're providing your drinks, or maybe they're providing your food for your event or something along those lines. But make for a great red carpet. Now, here's the key to success on the red carpet. You hire, and I do mean you hire, somebody to hang out at the red carpet and organize for you who's coming up next. They get their name. They put it on a piece of paper. They hold the piece of paper up in front of the photographers. Say it's Tony St. Tone, for example.
Let's say that.
Tony's PR girl is Tanya, and Tanya will write St. Tone on a piece of paper. She will hold it in front of the cameras. Everybody takes a picture, so they all know that the next pictures coming up are St. Tone.
But she also writes musician on there.
Exactly.
Because there's musicians, there's actors, there's athletes, etc. So some people that aren't aware who is that, they want to make sure, or they'll say this is John Smith from the Bravo TV series.
Right.
So they make sure that they actually say who they're, what they're currently doing, not just actor on Bravo's, you know,
correct,
selling millions.
Yeah, and something that we do because we find that we want to get the most bang for our buck by being on the red carpet, is we give out our business card to every single photographer so they have no problem finding us, so that we can get our hands on the pictures they took and use it for our marketing efforts.
And the reason why they do this also is they want to get the correct spelling of your name.
Right.
And since it's in a sequential order, they know here's a photo of the card, these are the next 10 photos of this person, here's a photo of the card, et cetera. It makes it that much easier to categorize it,
communicate
later
with everybody. Mm-hmm. Accurately too. So what Tanya does, she brings a team with her. She staggers her team within the red carpet line, and they write out everybody's name. They either use a dry erase board so that they can, you know, erase them and keep writing them. Some of them that I've done that have been more high level, we've pre-printed everybody's name, because you do get people to let you know that they're coming. So we had pre-printed cards that were a little fancier. But the point is that it helps to move people along the red carpet quicker. The idea is to get as many people on there as you can, because as the people get on there, they are happy. It's a fun experience, especially if you're not a star and you are just coming to do a fundraiser and cheer, you know, some fundraising effort on, and you get the opportunity to walk on a red carpet. What does tend to happen, which can be a problem, is people will stay on the red carpet forever and talk and laugh and giggle, and there's, mind you, 200 people behind you waiting to do their photo. So what somebody
get in
like,
and get out.
What Tanya does is gives you a time limit. They set the time limit based on how many guests are coming. So everybody gets 5 seconds. Okay, everybody gets 2.5 seconds, whatever it is. And you adhere to that through the line. That way, everybody's moving along quickly. The photographers are happy. Your guests are happy. And it makes for the perfect red carpet experience.
Amen. All that in one breath.
Yeah.
Good.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind. ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
Okay, and I am back on Humanitarian Radio. We are happy, happy, happy to have with us a special guest today, Shania Fostier. Welcome, Shania.
Hi! I'm so glad to be part of your show.
We are delighted to have you, darling. We started out our show talking about how awesome you are, and now we have the privilege of letting our guests hear how awesome you are as well. So welcome to Humanitarian Radio.
Thank you so much.
I want to say, just so everyone knows, you started at the age of 8, would you say, or even earlier than that? Because you're 14 at this time, correct?
I am 14, yes.
Okay. So as a 14-year-old having been a author, motivational speaker, singer-songwriter, a CEO, a production company, you've done more in 14 years than people have done in a lifetime. So when did you start? Like in a previous life or something?
I like to think that. But I've always had such a weird fascination with writing. I've always been writing since I was very little. Filling composition books with stories, and it was kind of something that I've always been passionate about since I was very, very little. And I think how my career basically took off was, I think I was around maybe 7 years old when I came across a national book writing contest, and it was for all ages, and it was all across the nation. And I decided, you know, I want to enter this contest. I want to see, you know, maybe I'll play. And the winner would get a $15,000 scholarship, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I decided to write my book, Mystery School. It was basically a story that I had come up with during, because I was homeschooled at the time, and there have always been these crazy things that occur while I'm homeschooled, and all these crazy things happen in my life. My life is just far from normal in all aspects.
I was going to say, yeah.
Mystery School is basically about all the funny, crazy, insane things that happen while in a day-to-day adventure, basically. And so it took me a few months to write that. So then I submitted it, and a few months later I received a letter that I had been a finalist from over 3,000 entries. And
you must have been extremely excited about that.
I was very excited. I received an award from them as well. so that was kind of where I my family had said, you know, let's publish your book. They said you put all this hard work into this book. She said, let's put it out there. Let's work on it. And I said, okay, that's awesome. That sounds great. So it wasn't easy publishing my first book. It was a lot of rejection, since not a lot of publishers were willing to look at an eight-year-old manuscript
right
at the time. Manuscript. So I think I was just very, very lucky to have gotten the opportunity that I received the view from the publisher, and I got my first book published at 8, and then I think from there I published my second book when I was 9, and then my third book when I was 10, and they were all three of the Mystery School series, and I published my fourth book, Bully in the Mirror,
mm-hmm.
1 year ago, actually, almost a year ago.
Got an anniversary.
And, huh?
You've got an anniversary coming up.
It is an anniversary, yes, and I'm actually very, very excited about that. So, yeah, Bully in the Mirror is a one-year, well, the book is 1 year old. Bully in the Mirror is a self-help curriculum-style book that is for parents, teachers, schools, basically everyone that people can use to refer back to when in need of help for building your self-confidence, self-esteem, and even tools and tips how to handle bullying in a more effective and positive way.
I want to ask you about that, because when we met you, you had just come out with that book, and I wondered how you got into the bullying spokesmodel role. Were you bullied as a youngster?
I don't want to say I was necessarily bullied. I think bullying affects everybody in one way or another, where they have friends who are bullied, or even if they're the ones being bullied, or if their parents have been bullied. You know, everybody is affected by bullying in some way. Bullying affects everybody.
But how did you pick? How did you pick that subject? How did that subject be the subject that piqued your interest?
Around the time when it did pique my interest, it was basically when bullying started becoming such a large social epidemic as it is right now.
Okay.
I was watching the Ellen Show, and she was giving tribute to three boys who committed suicide due to bullying.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of stroked my curiosity, because some of my friends at the time had actually been at the verge of suicide because of bullying, and I was the one staying up with them till 3 in the morning, talking to them, making sure they're okay, hearing what they're going through, and I was the one helping them, so I felt a really personal connection to that, because I wouldn't know, you know, what I would do if I found out one of my friends committed suicide, or their family found out that their child committed suicide, and
that
basically touched me personally.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wondered, because I felt like there was a really close personal tie to you and bullying somewhere, because when you talk about the Bully in the Mirror, and when you talk about anti-bullying, I can feel the passion from you. So I know that it's like deep within you, you genuinely are trying to change things in the bullying realm.
I'm trying. This world needs a lot of attention. This world needs a lot of help. And there are so many people that really want to help this world and make a difference. But there is not enough help. Even with all of these people wanting to make a difference, this world nearly, it needs so much attention. And I took it upon myself to be part of that change. I want to make a change in this world. I want to help this world become more positive. I want to help this world become more loving. I want to be part of that movement. And so that basically, it took off. That will that I had took off. And I actually, before Bully in the Mirror, I had written a curriculum that I had passed around in schools all over the nation, and mm-hmm. I was giving anti-bullying workshops to schools and presentations. And from there is when I decided to rewrite my curriculum into a book, because I wanted to have it reach a larger audience.
Sure.
So basically where I can be at multiple places at once.
Now, you started this book, so has anyone else taken your lead as far as what you've done in the past, moved it forward as far as taking it on themselves to do their own version of
yes.
anti-bullying? So it's like you planted a seed, if you will, and other people have said, hey, I'm going to take this torch and run with it.
Yeah, actually, yes, it has, and it's made me really proud. Actually, very, very recently, I have to say maybe – I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I have a contact form on my website where people can email me, and I reply back. And I received an email from a young girl who was basically telling me her story about how she was being severely bullied, and how she was feeling through that instance. And she was basically saying how she came across my book. And that book basically changed her life, and that she was working on speaking to her school about anti-bullying, and she was using my book as a tool, and she was telling all her teachers about my book, and they're basically using my book as a tool to go around their town as a group and speak to schools about anti-bullying, and using my book as the inspiration.
That's pretty amazing.
And many, many schools and teachers use my book also in their school as a curriculum. They implement it as a curriculum. So I'm really happy to know that, you know, my book is there, and they're reading it, and they're listening to it, and they're taking trust in me and my book.
Absolutely. And you know, you get to physically see that what you're doing is making a difference. You get to see the result of the efforts that you've made to put this information out there. And that's really awesome. That's really awesome. What we try to do on the show is we try to show people different ways that they can get involved in making great humanitarian efforts. And, you know, an effort can be made in such a small way and have such a big result that it's such a great, it's great to have somebody like you that is such a young age and has done so much already to inspire not only parents but children how to move forward and do great things for, your fellow man. It's a beautiful thing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And I want to help inspire other people to do the same exact thing. I really want to help people reach their will and build that passion for it. I was recently nominated for the CNN Heroes Award by Greg Camacho, who also had placed a 10,000 book order for me to travel and pass around those books in the island of Saipan.
Wow.
So that's very exciting, because I've always had an interest in traveling, and getting that opportunity to do so is really, really awesome.
That is excellent. Now, I read somewhere that you've already spoken in front of like 85,000 people. Is that correct? Like collectively?
Oh, wow. That is way over now. It has to be at least way over 200,000.
Over 200,000 people that you've spoken. So it's obvious to say that you're not shy then to speak in front of people. You've overcome any shyness you might have had.
No, I've not. The funny thing is, I never have been. Speaking for some, the first time I ever had I ever spoke in front of an audience, there was over 1,000 people in the audience. And I was only 9 or 10 years old when I spoke in front of that audience, and it always came so naturally to me. I never was afraid to go up and speak my mind and help other kids and tell other kids the truth, because I think what lacks in a lot of kids' lives is the truth. And I'm glad that they basically trust me. And I think that they only trust me because I'm one of them. I'm a kid. I know what they're going through. They feel connected to me.
That's a good point.
And I think that's the best thing is that kids listen to kids.
Do you feel like at this point that you know your life purpose or your life mission? And do you feel like this is it?
I definitely think this is it. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. There is no doubt about it. I think that I'll never cease to help. This is kind of, it's a passion for me, and that passions don't just simply go away. They just don't simply happen for a few years and then you forget about it.
Right, and I think what's great about what you've been doing is that you've taken it on into multimedia, where you're a singer-songwriter, you're an actress, you're a producer of a video series. So you're actually embracing all different ways of getting out that message. I think that's what's
definitely
awesome.
And I'm working, and exactly what you said, I'm working on a lot of different ways to get out that message. And I've learned that you can never, ever, ever do anything alone. You always need a support system. You need those people that are going to be there for you.
Very good point. You need
to connect with people that have the same message as you. And what happened recently was I became the spokesmodel of a national charity called Our Field of Hope. It's an organization, a foundation, and basically what they do is they work with foster children in all aspects about health and basically teaching them various important life skills. And I'm actually going to travel to Florida. The director of the foundation is flying me into Florida in 3 weeks for Princess Day, which is where they have all the foster girls in Florida come to this big event where they get to be treated like princesses and they get to dress up like princesses, and it's basically their day. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm really, really excited for that.
That sounds very cool. So now, have you done? You said that you've been able to do quite a bit of traveling with this type of opportunity that you've had. Is there any place that you like more than others? I mean, have you done quite a bit of traveling, or are you just starting to get out there?
I've done quite a bit of traveling. I've gotten the opportunity to see a lot of different cultures, and I think that they're very incomparable because they're all so different, and they're all so great, and everybody has their own niche. And it's just a lot of people don't really get that opportunity to see so many different parts of the world or the nation or their state. And so I think I'm really honored to be given this opportunity to be able to see the world and be able to see what's out there.
You know, and I want to ask you about that. I'm kind of going to go on a different trail for a second. You are doing a lot of traveling. How does your family handle your success at this age, as in mom and dad are both supporting you wholeheartedly, and they both work, as in your dad works and your mom works doing a lot of stuff for you, as, you know, in the management team of having a child who's a superstar. So how does it work for you family-wise? What's the dynamic? Are you in separate locations? You have to keep in touch. You fly back and forth. How do you work a normal family life and travel the world and do what you do?
Well, I currently live in California with my mother, and my father is in Texas working, and he flies in at least once or twice a month, and we're actually working on having him live in California permanently.
Nice.
The start of next year, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Because we've been apart for like 2 years, and that's way too long.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering, because, you know, I remember when we met you that you had said your dad was living in Texas and you guys had just moved out here. And so there's really a lot of sacrifice involved for a family in allowing a child to be able to, and I'm sorry I call you a child because you are so not a child, to be able to spread good word and do things on a humanitarian level. Your family is just as much to be thanked for the effort that you get to do, because they are helping you to get to do this. So I definitely just wanted to shine a little light on mom and dad and the family that supports you and the support system that you've received that's allowed you to do such great things out there in the world. So applaud to the parents and the family.
Yay for mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yes, it is definitely the craziest situation, too. I mean, we're all the three of us, I'm an only child, and the three of us are like, practically insane. And it's been really hard to be living apart from each other for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's not in any way okay. So I'm really grateful that they were able to sacrifice the whole living situation for me. But my dad's going to probably come live with us next year. So that's definitely going to help the support there. And he's like a rock, basically. So he's kind of the one that like glues everything back together if anything like falls apart, which it hardly ever does. But
Yeah. It's just knowing that he's there for you is awesome. And now how do you handle school? Because you're 14, right? So where are you at school-wise, and how does that all work out?
I actually graduated high school last year.
Okay. I knew you were on your way there. Good for you. Congratulations.
At 13, everybody. 13, right?
Thank you.
Yes. It's not. I'm just letting people know.
I graduated high school last year. A lot of people ask me if I'm planning to go to college. I've always been interested in college, so I definitely see no reason why I shouldn't further my education. So I definitely would want to go to college probably in the next maybe year or so. Mm-hmm. I want to give myself time because, all in all, I still am 14.
Right.
And I just want to give myself that extra year. I want to work on my career completely 100% right now.
Right.
So that I don't have to worry about too many things at one time, so that I only have one thing to worry about. One thing to worry about, maybe two things to worry about.
Right.
So right now I'm just working on my career. And
that's smart.
I'll definitely be going to college.
Very smart.
You know, Janie graduated high school at 16, so you actually beat her out, which I thought was very impressive when I met her. When she told me she was graduated at 16, I thought she was a brainiac, but you're at 13. I just don't get it.
Yeah, like, well, you know what it is, honey, is we work hard. We do a lot of extra classes, and
yeah,
we do more than everybody else does, and that's how you
graduate
early.
You just didn't take art class in PE.
No. I did like she did, and I had college classes when I was in high school just like she did. So, yeah. All it takes is a certain kind of effort and mental motivation, and we had it earlier than you did.
Well, no, when I was 14, I was playing baseball, and that's when I started picking up the guitar. So
yeah,
I was
yeah.
preoccupied with sports and music.
And women.
And
ladies.
I was just getting to know girls. So,
yes.
Yeah. High school was like 14, I think fourth
right?
on the list.
Yeah. Music. You mentioned music. Music's always a really big part of my life. It's always been a big part of my life. When I started speaking in schools, I actually carried my guitar with me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the presentations I would sing and play a song in front of the school.
Nice.
That was basically where I started developing my passion for singing, because I had actually started guitar first. And then I started singing, and I started writing my own songs, and before I knew it, I was in the studio recording my first single. That was actually when I was 12, and
nice.
Then I recorded my second single only, I think last year, that's also coming up as an anniversary 1 year, and then I'm currently working on my first EP. I'm in the studio very, very, very long hours working on that, because I'm working on it to make it my own and kind of perfecting it, because I want everything to have like a personal touch. I want everything to be really personalized, to where people can really kind of connect and feel certain emotions in my music. So I think that's always a big part. I think reaching people's emotions in music is such a versatile and worldly thing. Anybody can really connect to music, so I'm really excited about that.
What style would you call your music? Is it pop? Is it rock? Is it a little of everything? What would you call it?
You know, my first two singles were more directed to the pop side, mostly because I was still young, and I was still developing, I was still experimenting, but I've developed a really strong passion for rock music. I love rock music. I am in love with rock music, and classic rock, modern rock, alternative rock, indie rock, and I would say that my EP is definitely going towards a more contemporary, alternative, indie kind of style, maybe around Florence the Machine, connected with like a little bit of Avril Lavigne, connected with a little bit of like kind of Nirvana touches. It's a very weird kind of mix. It's very cinematic, and it's very great, and it's very real and raw, And I think that it's very neat.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And I am excited that you are actually allowing it to be you and not trying to chase someone else's image of you, meaning it's like, oh, I want it to sound just like Nirvana, or I want it to sound just like Florence and the Machine. It's like you're actually taking it and making it your own. And I think that's something that's really great, especially at your age, to say, hey, you know what, I want to be me, and realizing who you really are, because a lot of people don't really know who they are. It takes them a while to figure out who they want to be, especially as a musician. We're going to take a short break for our advertisers, and we'll be right back. So hang out with us. We'll be right back.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet, off the money now. I'm a magnet, off the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com. Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook.com/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
We are back with Shania Fostier, and we're talking about her new album, which incidentally, in the next hour, she's going to go do the photo shoot for, and that's fun in itself. So Shania, tell us the name of your new album.
My new album, it's in a very working title. I hope, maybe I'm thinking about actually self-titling it as Shania, because it is my first album, and so that's basically kind of my first choice of self-titling it. But
yep.
I think that
why not?
Exactly, why not? It's really fun. I think I spend so much time writing music. If I could be in the studio recording 5 albums at a time, I would, but I can't.
yeah, totally. Well, you're sharing your time with a lot of other energies that you have and a lot of other creativity, and thankfully you're taking the time to put an album together amongst all the things that you are doing, you know? Because you have a strong message that you're getting out there, and you have an audience that can relate to you that a lot of older musicians can't touch. So I think I think it's important that you do explore your music and you do get it out there. One of the things that I saw when I was looking on your YouTubes and listening to your songs, Dreaming Lucidly, you have a quote on that page, and it says, "I am a teen with the courage to help change the world for the better." I think that is just the most awesome statement in its entirety, as in it says exactly who you are, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful message for everybody else out there to go, hey, she's doing this. What can you do? What do you have in you? What's your untapped power? You know, I think you very much inspire people to look inside, and I'm just delighted that you do that through your music.
And through your acting.
Thank you so
and through
much.
Your writing and through your
right.
Speaking. Do you set up shows around doing your motivational speaking or your anti-bullying speaking? Is that something that you set up every year?
All my managers do it. My mother works with my managing team to basically schedule shows and kind of schedule everything to where everything fits together. So I definitely, every year is way different than the previous year. I'm going to be starting a really, really large tour in January, where basically I'll be touring for both my EP and my book, and my new book, actually, which I am almost done writing. It's my first fiction novel, and it's sci-fi fantasy oriented. And I'll be touring for that. I actually have received a national interest from one of the top publishers.
Excellent.
That I'll be kind of talking to in the next month or so about a deal.
Where can people follow you? Your Facebook, your website. Where do people find you to see what your schedule is and you know how they can keep track of what you're doing?
All right. Well, my website is basically my main thing. So my website is www.shanayafastia.com, S-H-A-N-A-Y-A-F-A-S-T-J-E. It's the most complicated name on earth, and I blame my dad for that because he named me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my website, and then I have a Twitter where my website I post basically everything that's going on, and then I have my Twitter handle, which is my name, Shanayafastia. I also have I'll be opening actually a Facebook fan page very, very, very soon. I had to close it because I didn't have time to run it, but I will be reopening my Facebook fan page again soon. And then I also have a YouTube channel where once in a while I'll post a few covers, but my main thing on YouTube is my MD Squared web series, which I produce, write, and star in.
Tell us a little bit about that, if you could. Just let people know what that's about.
Of course. MD Squared, I got the inspiration of MD Squared from real people, basically. I decided, you know, I write in my book, there's real stories about real people that I've helped get through their problems, and that I've had the honor to hear them and their stories. And I modeled MD Squared after real situations. And MD Squared is about a girl who, at first, in the first episode, she seems very out of it. She seems very, very complex. She's a very complex character, and where she has a lot of things going on in her head, and a lot of those things aren't good things. They're very negative thoughts. She's very sad. She's very depressed. And as the episodes go on, you kind of learn about why she's depressed, why she's sad, why she's practically schizophrenic. She talks to herself all the time, and she has this wildly insane conscience. And she basically has to find something to live for. And each episode, she tries to find something to live for. And each episode, something strange happens. And it'll basically wrap up to where it deals with military families and separated parents. So I kind of want to reach that aspect of it as well, because a lot of kids are in that situation where their parents are separated, or there are a lot of military kids out there. And I wanna also connect with them, because I have spoken with a lot of military kids, and I have a dear friend. His name is Travis. I have a story about him in my book, actually, and he was a military child. So I do have a lot of connection to that as well. I screenwrite almost every day about real situations in life and basically what's happening. I'm screenwriting right now a new drama feature film. And it's basically, you see in the TV right now, the deal with people is shootings. And you see shootings at schools, and you see shootings at colleges. And I think it's one of the most terrible things that is happening in our society right now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a friend of mine was actually kind of involved in a shooting at a community college in Santa Monica. And she was, the shooting occurred in the library, and she was in the library when the shooting happened, and she was 3 feet away from the shooter, and it was just this wild thing where the whole day was revolved around that. And I decided to write a movie about basically not from the victim's perspective, but from the shooter's perspective, where the shooters are not adults, but they're kids, basically, and from the shooter's perspective and what goes on through their head and how they're dealing with it and how they got to that point, basically.
Wow. That's a heavy subject.
That's a very heavy subject. It seems like, again, it seems like you're tapping into a lot of different social issues that are out there that really need to be addressed, and for you to take this on at your age is just incredible. I mean, for anyone to take it on at any age, but the fact that you're doing it at this age, just where most kids are out there just still playing and just still having a good time, you're taking on these big social issues. I think it's wonderful, and I'm really glad to see someone like yourself doing that.
Shania, what advice would you give to kids that are listening, or young adults, teenagers, parents, whoever is listening, that is trying to figure out how they can get started to take on something that they're passionate about? Like, what would you give someone who's a brand new starter in joining in and starting to help to take care of the people around us as advice to get going?
I think this can go for everybody, that education is one of the most important things in life. You can never, ever stop learning. And this goes for parents, even. A lot of times I see parents or teachers that are struggling with how to deal with a student or their child dealing with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the most important tools is educating yourself. If you want to help the world, if you want to do something about it, if you have a certain passion, if it's animals or children, if it's anything, it's education. Learn about it. Learn everything you can. Hear true stories. Just put yourself in that situation and really become a great listener. It's listen to people. Listen to your kids. Listen to your parents. Everybody has something that they can learn from somebody. And I think if people are willing to listen to each other and teach each other what they know and be able to basically put those things that they learn into their own life.
Right, to implement it into what they're doing. Yep.
Exactly. And I think also sometimes people feel like they shouldn't take advantage of going after something they love or going after their dream, going after their passion, because they feel like nobody's going to support them.
Right.
They feel like they're basically alone. They feel like, oh, it's not going to work. No, nobody should ever feel like they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to surround themselves with good, positive, healthy people that will become their support system.
Right.
And we need to be that support system for each other. We need to help each other out, and we need to be the ones telling each other, you can do this. Push through it.
Absolutely.
There's nothing stopping you but yourself.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen, sister. Yeah. You tell them. Behind you, 1,000%. As if those words came out of my very mouth. That was awesome.
Obviously, that is exactly what I'm all about as a singer-songwriter. So, bravo for just keeping it going forward. You know, keeping it positive with so many negative things out there. Just keeping it positive. I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, you don't have to watch the news. You can just watch some happy news and just be inspired and watch something good.
So, Shania, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. But I also would like to ask you if you'd come back and let us know. You know, in the beginning of the year when you launch all your stuff, why don't you come back, check in with us, and tell us what's happening and where everybody can find you and, purchase your books and watch your shows and all the great stuff that you're doing. So just really, really wish you the best in the next few months, and have a great time. And don't forget about your pals here. And come back and say hi to Humanitarian Radio.
I would love to. I would totally love to. I had a great time. Thank you.
You know, with all that talk about anti-bullying, I think this is the perfect time for me to play a song that I wrote called Mama Said, and it's a song about win-win situations and compromise and how to get along. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Mama Said. Mama said we can always find a way. Mama said we can always work it out if you want to. Mama said we can always find a way. Break out of worn out ways and find a compromise. Let go of ego and pride. Rock your body, as solutions soon arise. One must seek to find. Mama
always hug it out. If we want to, and mama said we can always find a way. If we choose to, and mama said we can always work it out. If we want to, do you want to? Break out on one our ways that I play with pride. Embrace the choice to harmonize. Win-win will find its way to collaborate. Two creations now one.
Mama glazed my face. Don't rush to fail. Succeed at a gate of time. That's controlled by your hands. Be an individual. Create your own plan. See, mama knows best. Papa seen it all before. Granny just prayed as I stayed in trouble. And now I stay humble. Lead out of tussles. Put down my fist. Let my brain beat the muscle. Put down my fist. Let my brain beat the muscle. Put down my fist.
Rain, rain, yeah, rain. It's something that I share with sunny days. So pray, pray, yeah, pray. The perfect resolution's on its way. On its way. On its way. We can always work it out. Mama said we can always. Mama said we can always find a way. Find a way. Find a way, find a way, find a way. Mama said,
Mama said,
Mama said, Mama said, Mama said.
You know, that is such a great song. I just want to jump in and brag for a second for you there, Tony. That
you could brag a little. I like that song, though.
Actually was our ticket in to perform for President Obama's first inauguration.
Yes, it was. Obama said.
Yeah.
Obama said we could always work it out.
We didn't have to sing it that way. They hired us because the message of the song was everybody getting along and listen to each other and don't bully each other. Don't hurt each other mentally.
Well, you know, win-win situations, and I say this when we do our live concerts, if you approach a situation in the negotiation stage of what is the other person going to get from it and what am I going to get from it, and you go at it from that win-win perspective, you usually end up with a better resolve. And obviously both people are happy as opposed to, I need to get what's mine, and that guy's going to try to get what's his. And there's already that conflict instead of going in and going like, well, what do you need from this and what do I need from this?
Absolutely.
And you put that on the table first. So,
I think it goes right along with what Shania's message is. And I'm happy to see that a government entity, no matter which side they're for or you're for, recognizes the fact that, you know, the bottom line is everybody should just be getting along and everybody can live happily ever after. So, Tony, where can people find that song?
That is available on iTunes, on CD Baby. It's available at my website, which is www.sainttone.com. You can go to Bandcamp. That's another place to purchase it. There's also a video on YouTube, which is on my YouTube channel, which is YouTube/SaintTone.
SaintTone. So, 'tis the season. Fundraisers have started. It's the fall, and it's a big time of year to get fundraising monies in the hands of the people who need it. So I was looking in major cities to see what was going on, and I found this one cool thing out of Chicago. There are people in Chicago that are associated with a group called Angel Bins. And what they do is they get sponsors to purchase an angel bin rental of so many bins. They set them all around town. And the organization goes around and says, hey, throw your old clothing or your anything that you have that you can discard in the way of clothing, blankets, towels, and all that fun stuff into these bins, and we'll pick them up. So this one group in Chicago is doing this based around Halloween, in that they're letting flyers be put around at people's houses in the neighborhoods they're going to go trick-or-treating in. And then on Halloween night, they're encouraging people to put their goodies in there so that they can be picked up and donated to shelters in the area. Do remember, all over the country, October starts to get a little cooler, and so people that don't have houses and that are living out on the streets, they tend to need more clothing and more blankets and things of that nature. So even if that's the little bit of effort that you put through over the next few months, clean your closet, find some old clothes, things you don't wear anymore, and go donate them to somebody who really needs it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And don't forget also about UNICEF and Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October. So we had a couple guests on in the past that have talked about that. So October is the Pink Ribbon Month.
It is, absolutely. And UNICEF is the it's the largest fundraising event of the year for them in the United States. And what they do is they collect money through trick-or-treaters and help feed children in our country. So that's another beautiful thing. Fundraising happens this coming week. And have a great and safe time out there.
Yes, and we will see you next week. Thank you again for listening to Humanitarian Radio. It's your listening support that puts some good news out there into the world.
We love spreading good news. It's Humanitarian Radio, signing out.
Peace.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.